C1AN.
Number 5B.
And that knocked Gassner right off. When Bessemer did that, Gassner was finished. He was finished. Then came the medical people who naturally put Gassner in this dispute. What you say?
Disrepute.
And the moment they have done that, then the Catholic Church fell on Gassner frightened him with excommunication if he would go on doing that work. And so Gassner was finished from one leg to the other by Mesmer. And on what ground? That Mesmer said, I do the same thing as Gassner, but he is calling on Jesus and the devil, and that's not true. Let's call on science. Mesmer was a man. He was quite a man. But the date was full of it. You see, and now Mrs. Eddy comes here in the tone of truth and says, but what about all those healings? What about all that? Well, it's all on the same heading that she says, if animal magnetism seems to alleviate or to cure disease, the appearance is deceptive, since error cannot remove the effects of error. Discomfort under error is preferable to comfort. In no instance is the effect of animal magnetism, recently called hypnotism, other than the effect of illusion. And she shows that seemingly there have been for a time these healings and effects on the sick, but it is, and that's a very important thing to state, that it is the effect of one error casting out the other error. And as in the case of Marie Paradis, that blind girl of which I was telling you yesterday, who was healed of blindness by Mesmer, the moment she was again under the pressure, under the influence of the medical people and of the Cardinal Migazzi, well, she lapsed, went back, right, to blindness back. Shows that it always depends just which influence, which animal influence is bigger. And an animal influence can profess itself to good or can profess itself to evil. It can profess itself to health, and it can profess itself to sickness. But it isn't wholeness. It isn't wholeness. And that's what separates Christian Science from all those hundreds and thousands of mental practices, so-called mental mind cures, of mind cures. That's a big difference. We are not one of the thousand games, different games. Something very different. It's that difference where I think sometimes we rather like not to be cured, and rather like not to see a thing heal quickly, but to work it through with truth and have a definite and final solution. And not just trying to compensate one error with another error. And that's here clearly stated, that it is always the effect of an illusion. That illusion can be an illusion of goodness or of evil, an illusion of sickness or an illusion of health, an illusion of recovery or an illusion of relapse. See, the moment we have not the basis which is only one-sided, like the divine mind, then we have no basis which is uniquely good. And so, finally, she says in the tone of love that any seeming benefit derived from it is proportional to one's faith in esoteric magic. Well, that's really brought the whole thing down to a common denominator. That we can take Gassner, that we can take Mesmer, that we can take all those people at that time, the Count of Buisinger or whoever it was, can all boil down to faith in esoteric magic. And why don't we have today those people like Mesmer and Gassner and all these things, because the age has come out of that period of magic and trained into mummery and so on, which was en vogue at that time. The age has come through the age of science, where each one has come to reason and is not anymore influenced so easily as 150 years ago. The world of today is very much different than that time. So here we have that first subject where we can see how Mesmer, at the beginning of the subject, stated his theory, his hypothesis, how through investigation, through the qualities of mind, how through investigation, observation, through testing, through drawing logical conclusions, and so on, how through that analysis we arrive at the conclusion that we have to see that we can't deny that animal magnetism, that the power of imagination has effects and bring about effects, we can't deny that, but that through that analysis we find out that the agent in this so-called working is always the power of imagination or the excitement of imagination, the effect of an illusion, or one's faith in esoteric magic, or our an error of the human mind anyway, and that it is not really remedial, but that it is seeming and deceptive, that it is not final. And that therefore only one basis is final, and that is divine mind. So let's resort to the divine mind. Then, well, let's go to the second subject. The second subject has three paragraphs showing spirit as mind, spirit, and spirit as soul. The whole tone now is that animal magnetism is a mere negation of the allness of the one God. That is the basis on which animal magnetism works. First, it says it is a so-called force, a so-called power. But what is that power? Is that power of God or not? And the second subject answers that question and shows that that power is not the power of God's spirit, but that it is the negating spirit in us, the negating power in us, that which negates the oneness and onlyness of God, and which tries to have something besides the divine. And that which is besides the divine we call either animal or human. So in the first paragraph she makes that clear, that animal magnetism is a mere negation, possessing neither intelligence, power, nor reality, and in sense it is an unreal concept of the so-called mortal mind. Now, it's quite interesting to see what the definition of animal is in the dictionary. Animal comes from animalis, animate, or anima, which is breath or soul. And we remember at once how in the second record of creation it is said, and the Lord God formed men of the dust of the ground and breathed. We have here the breath. In his nostril the breath of life. And man became a living soul. It's all full of that anima or of that animal, showing how what he says, that everything which is not of God is either animal or human, that God's power is neither animal nor human. And so we see that the moment we reject the oneness with the divine mind, that then we reject the nature of God, and that is animal and is human. So whatever is negating our oneness with the divine mind or with God is really animal magnetism. So animal magnetism is not just something, first of all, which we have to be feared from somebody else as a malpractitioner, malpracticing on us, but really is in the first place within us. It is that within us which negates the divine, and that is called the animal. And animal magnetism, mesmerism, hypnotism, she says, is a mere negation, possessing neither intelligence, power, nor reality, and is an unreal concept of the so-called mortal mind. Now, I think so often in our everyday life, we feel that something evil is happening and is going on. Why do we feel that? Why do we feel that? Feeling is already that what the first subject told us, that we feel an influence of evil. And therefore, we feel that influence, that something is going on which shouldn't go on, which isn't harmonious, that I live in a universe which isn't quite harmonious. Well, where does that go on? It's all going on in our concept, in our consciousness. And that is animal, because it's not divine. Because it's not divine. So, let's be very clear that if we feel that we are not making progress, that our happiness is not improving and is not enlarging, that our well-being and joy and so on of life is not progressing, well, don't blame anything except our negating spirit in us. Those spirits which we have analyzed in the fourth chapter, here they come up as the negating spirit. We negate what we really should acknowledge as our inheritance. Nothing stands in the way to acknowledge our true inheritance. And whatever negates that true inheritance is animal magnetism. And we are the first to malpractice on us. Then she goes on to the second paragraph and shows that there is but one real attraction, that of spirit. Then why should we be attracted by anything else? Why do we let ourselves be attracted by anything else? Why do we let ourselves be influenced by anything else? Influenced by some news, influenced by what's happening in the world, influenced by a future prospect, influenced by this, influenced by that, influenced by A and B and C. That is animal magnetism. And we can't blame anybody. Here she, in the final edition, she shows we can't blame anybody. If we take animal magnetism from the point of view of science, then it is a question of how much we take in this science of the allness of God. And so in the last paragraph she says the planets have no more power over men than over his maker, since God governs his universe. But man, reflecting God's power, has dominion over all the earth. And so see at once that over, that term over in this paragraph, which indicates you at once the tone of soul, which gives the control of soul, the supremacy of soul, and says, well, what is supreme in our consciousness? Is our unity with the one attraction to God's Spirit supreme? Then we rule the world. If that is not supreme, the world will rule us. So here, the second big subject really makes a clear distinction of how to distinguish between the power of God and the all-embracing power of God on one side, and on the other side, our false mortal mind concept of animal qualities and the power they exert on the universe. I must hurry on. I will never get through. Because I want to get through this morning so that we have plenty of time to go over the whole subject this afternoon from all different aspects. Then we come to the third subject of soul, which has five subtones. And the third subject is very different from the first and the second. When you read the text, you can't help feeling suddenly that the malicious form of animal magnetism or mental malpractice is presented and is defined here as sin, and that it must be controlled scientifically, that it must be put under the control of metaphysics. Can you hear the tone? First we had the hypothesis of animal magnetism, which was analyzed that the basis of this magnetism is illusion. But the basis is one's faith in esoteric magic, it's illusion. It's not a reality, it's not a real mind. It's an illusive mind. Then second, the subject showed that this illusive mind has really no power if we take a stand, a clear stand, with the one spirit and mind. That the power of God is that which is always supreme in a situation. And now in the third subject, she shows the tendency of malicious animal magnetism, which has a tendency to reverse the way from sense to soul and tries to drag us back from soul to sense. That malicious animal magnetism doesn't believe in the resurrection, but in the counterfeit of dragging us down deeper and deeper into the abuse of metaphysics. She begins right in by showing that malpractice produces a secret influence. That malpractice, that the mild form of animal magnetism are disappearing, and that the secret and the aggressive features are coming to the front. And you get quite a sense of that secretiveness, that the looms of crime are every hour weaving webs more complicated and subtle. It snarls and snares, and snares the age into indolence, produces the very apathy on the subject which the criminal desires. She says it is hidden and it is secret. So we get here the secret, silent sense of malpractice, in contradistinction to the open attacks. We have the secret attacks, and shows that despotic mental control is exerted by this so-called malpractice. In other words, it shows how sin has a control. If unresisted, not analyzed, it has a control. That sin is a so-called power, and if not resisted, that it plays all the tricks on us. Then she goes on to a second point, soul as spirit, in which she shows that this malpractice can be used for good and evil, and that it implies the exercise of despotic control and is much more likely to be abused by its possessor than otherwise employed for the good. So she makes no bones about it, that there is a so-called evil influence which tries in all secret ways to attack us and to control us. Then, suddenly, for the first time, she speaks to the reader. Up to now, she just was presenting and presenting and presenting the the claims of animal magnetism, first in its ignorant form and then in its malicious form. And now she speaks to the reader. And there are very few sentences in this chapter where she speaks to the reader. And here she says, mankind must learn that evil is not power, and begins to give now the rule of metaphysics with which to rule the claims of animal magnetism, of malicious animal magnetism. And it is by knowing that evil is not power, and that its so-called despotism is but the phase of nothingness. Christian Science despoils the kingdom of evil and preeminently promotes affection and so on. So she shows here that malpractice, which has a despotic and sinful claim on mankind, that malpractice through the rule of metaphysics must be despoiled of its so-called power. What she introduces here really is the necessity to handle evil. The point of which Mr. Dawley made such a big point, the necessity of handling evil, that unless we handle evil, that evil handles us. That's what she brings out here in Soul, that sin is handling us until we handle sin through sinlessness. And so, Soul's principle, she says, therefore the destruction of the claims of mortal mind through science, by which man can escape from sin and mortality. There is a way out. We are not the unshielded victim of the aggressive animal magnetism. But we can escape and shield us from the attacks. But it is through science. See, it's the scientific handling of evil, which is so necessary. That's why John always said that that when he was asked why he found the system of science, he said that he believes that because he handled evil scientifically every day. He attributed his discovery to his ability and willingness and constancy of handling evil consistently and daily. Because what is it that makes us not see the truth of being? It's always animal magnetism. Because God always reveals himself to each one of us at every moment, at every instant. And that which can hinder us to see it is not God, and if it is not God, then it is animal magnetism. So if we handle animal magnetism and handle animal magnetism, it is not just to protect us that we are not pulled down, but it also enables us to be a clear transparency for the revelation of truth. Because then spiritual sense is made clearer and clearer in us and becomes more transparent for the revelation of truth, which is going on all the time. So handling evil scientifically and consistently is not just our last weapon just to defend us against the secret foe, but has also a positive side, namely that it enables us to be more transparent for spiritual revelation. How can we handle it scientifically? She makes a little indication in the tone of Soul's life, by saying, as in the beginning, however, this liberation does not scientifically show itself in a knowledge of good and evil, for the latter is unreal. So the scientific handling of evil is basing itself on that which was at the beginning, by relying on prime evil existence, on our prime evil existence of completeness, of that which was before Adam was, the first record of creation, the true statement of being. And so this afternoon we'll see that and look at it from this point of view. Here, let's just see, you see, that we can never handle evil by fighting a dragon, by fighting a malpractitioner. by loathing a malpractitioner, by trying humanly to protect us against all the tricks of a malpractitioner. It's always in metaphysics, within the rule of metaphysics, that was the big theme of the third revision, that abiding by the rule of metaphysics, that means by abiding by the primeval facts of being, we defend ourselves and protect ourselves of all that wants to distort that primeval state of being. So that's the tone of soulless life. And we see in this subject how the aggressive and malicious nature of animal magnetism is depicted, how it is depicted that this malicious form of animal magnetism has one aim, namely to drag us down, and that the rule of soul can control this animal magnetic influence by resorting to primeval existence. And from that point, introduce again the kingdom of God. Well, I must make a stop here.